You'll turn to the back of your worship leaflet today. It's going to be the sixth chapter of Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 6, first verses 30 through 34, and then we'll go down to verses 53 through 56. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a lonely place by themselves. Now many saw them going and knew them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran about the whole neighborhood and began to bring sick people on their pallets to any place where they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and besought him that he might that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many who touched it were made well. Sometimes I think about a simple definition of Christian worship, and that passage comes to mind. We together come together as a community of faith, hoping to touch the hem of his garment and receive from him whatever he deigns to give us. Have you heard about the young police, the police rookie? He was going through a training session, and the sergeant asked him, "Rookie, what would you do if you had to arrest your own mother?" His eyes got big, but without blinking or hesitating, he said, "I'd call for backup." Have you ever felt that you needed backup? Found yourself in a situation when you sincerely, really needed help? I think all of us have. And sometimes it's simply an extra hand or two to get something finished, or at some point we need a wise, compassionate, listening ear. If we have motor or engine trouble, then we need to call a mechanic. When we're sick, we need the help of a trusted medical professional. And sometimes we need the benefit of spiritual help. Spiritual help, that mental and spiritual strength to keep on keeping on and continue to do what God is calling us to do. Well, this morning we see Jesus and his followers headed across Lake Galilee one more time. The disciples have just come back from their first missionary journey, and they were excited, enthusiastic about what went on. And at this point, Jesus decides that they need some time away, time to retreat and rest and pray. They needed some quiet time. However, our verses this morning show all the activity, all the busyness that took place around Jesus, and it shows the crowds who kept coming to him. And it's clear in this verse just how much people needed, how much people sought out the ministry of our Lord and Savior. And we see something else taking place here also. In order to minister to people and meet their needs, Jesus had to have some time for prayer and rest and refreshment. So did his disciples. Verse 31 says it plainly, "Come to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." And we see this pattern throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. We see the pattern of the Master's life where he goes out to serve and help and heal and give and teach. Then he retreats for a season of rest and prayer. He goes out to bless, and then he goes in to get refreshed. It's almost a rhythm of solitude, silence, Sabbath, and then service. First, let's look at solitude. And my guess is that a lot of people are sort of frightened by that word, solitude. Right away, they think of monasteries and convents and cloisters of monks and nuns deep in meditation. And solitude, we think, is only for professional meditators and prayers, not for ordinary people. But the fact is that Jesus called his followers to regular times of being by themselves, and the disciples were about as normal and regular as anybody, mostly fishermen, few tax collectors, tax clerks. Jesus knew they needed times of renewal, and we need them too. According to the dictionary, solitude means privacy, quiet, peace, withdrawal. And let's face it, some days that is mighty hard to come by. You know, people in our area, southern Missouri people, by and large are busy people. We pride ourselves on our hard work and our attentiveness to the labors that we embrace. And oftentimes we have projects going on when we do have some downtime, a chance to be by ourselves, hear ourselves think. But you know, that type of quiet makes a lot of people uneasy, can make people nervous. Mistakenly, we believe that we have to be up to something about 18 hours a day, and when we do get the chance to sit down and be alone, we're sort of uncomfortable. As my dad used to say, a little antsy. How long has it been since you've heard the Savior's call, Christ's invitation to be by yourself and rest a while? Now, sure, it could mean that you have to change up your schedule a bit. Normally, we have to make time for that. Often, it doesn't happen by itself. Dr. Michael DeBakey, the great heart surgeon, once said, "For me, the solitude of early morning is a precious time of day. There's a quiet and a serenity that disappears a few hours later with all the hustle and bustle of the multitude. The anxiety and frustration and woes of the previous day seem to have been washed away during the night. Early morning tells us God has granted another chance, another day of life to walk with God and do something worthwhile for someone." Solitude can be good for the soul. The Spirit of God can especially meet us and minister to us when we reserve a little time to be alone. Now let's look for a minute at silence. There's solitude and there's silence, its good friend. And I can hear some wonderful parents and grandparents in this room. I can't read your mind, but I can almost hear, quiet, silent, with my group, my bunch. There was a four-year-old little girl who was tent camping for the first time with her family. And that weekend, the campground was crowded. There wasn't much room between tents, so the families were packed kind of closely together. Well, nighttime came, and they were all ready to rest. But the four-year-old had a problem. It was dark inside that tent, no nightlight, and it made her a little nervous. But Dad reassured her family was right there, even though she couldn't see them, and besides, God was with them too. As everyone began to doze off, the little girl was still uneasy, and she called out, "Mom, are you there?" "Yes," Mom said, "I'm right here." A few minutes later, she called out again, "Dad, are you there?" Dad said, "Yes, I'm right here too." Things quieted down for a couple of minutes, and she asked if her brother and sister were there. And after everybody answered, "Yes," it quieted down. only to be repeated a couple of minutes later, and at that point, an older man in the tent next door piped up in a loud, deep voice, "Little girl, we are all here, your dad, mom, sister, brother, and me. For heaven's sakes, be quiet and go to sleep." Well, silence ruled for about 30 seconds. Then in a loud whisper, the little girl asked, "Daddy, was that God?" Well, that was not the voice of God, of course, but silence allows us to listen more carefully to the Most High. Being quiet allows us to reflect on life and faith and invite the Holy Spirit more fully into our hearts and minds. It helps us to commune with our Heavenly Father and patiently listen to that still small voice that might have a message for you or me. You've heard about an odd form of pollution called noise pollution. Now, noise pollution means that areas free from artificial man-made sounds are disappearing. Even in the wilderness and national parks of our country, there's traffic noise, airplane sounds, the racket of machinery is heard. Noise pollution, I've read, is not good for our mental health. And if it's unhealthy for our minds, then it's probably unhealthy for our bodies as well. And our spiritual lives eventually suffer from too much noise. But we can do our thing, we can do our part to battle noise pollution. Simple things. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio or the CD player or the Wi-Fi. Say bye-bye to Alexa and Siri. Remember that great old scripture verse, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." That's right. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Solitude keeps an appointment with the Lord. Silence helps us tune in to what God might be whispering to our souls. And then there is the Sabbath. The Sabbath. Now, in our Protestant tradition of Christianity, we call Sunday the Lord's Day because that is the New Testament appellation of what Sunday is. We call it the Lord's Day. Some traditions call it the Sabbath, but technically that's a Jewish term and it was on Saturday anyway, not Sunday. End of lesson. But Jesus kept the Sabbath. One day out of every 7 days to rest and turn our hearts to higher things. Coleridge, the great old English poet, said, "By giving us the Sabbath, God has given us 52 small springtimes each year." One day a week should serve to bring a little springtime to our souls. You need it. I need it. Apparently, Jesus and his band of disciples, they needed it also. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all point out that Christ went to church. Now, of course, actually, he went to synagogue. And a few times in the New Testament, we find that phrase, "as was his custom, Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath." He didn't just talk about it. He did more than tip his hat to the idea. Jesus got himself up and ready to be present in the Lord's house, one day out of every 7. Solitude allows us to meet with God. Silence allows us some springtime renewal in our inner lives, as well as does the Sabbath. Now, I don't know what we would call the late Dr. Robert Schuller. I'll call him Grandpa Schuller, as I quote him. He says, "The Lord's Day should be a time when hope is rekindled, dreams are renewed, and self-worth is restored." I like that. The Lord's Day should be a time when hope is rekindled, Dreams are renewed and self-worth is restored. Remember the holiday song, "We Need a Little Christmas"? We need a little Sabbath to restore our hearts and minds. In God's goodness and wisdom, the Lord will occasionally impose a time of rest upon us, a few days at least, sometimes longer, a season when we simply have to slow down and pull back for a while. One of the founders of the Protestant faith, Protestant Christianity, the great Martin Luther, was one afternoon surrounded by five horsemen, all masked, all armed to the teeth. And in silence, they forced Luther to come with them after dressing him in a knight's cloak, K-N-I-G-H-T, as a knight of the round table, dressing him in a knight's cloak and placing him on a large, expensive horse. Then they all, Luther included, disappeared into the forest. And silently, his five captors took him to the castle of Wartburg, high in the German mountains. Entering the courtyard, the stone courtyard there, they took Luther's clergy garments, but there they also quietly knighted him with the title Sir George. In that Wartburg castle for the next 10 months, Martin Luther, also known as Sir George, was kept hidden away from the ones who wanted to harm him. Yet during his time there, he translated the New Testament into the common language of the German people. He wrote many prayers for Protestant worship, and he rested knowing that he was safe among good friends. So yes, now and then the Heavenly Father will make sure that we slow down to recharge our souls and rest. Many years after he invented radar, Sir Robert Watson Watt, the inventor of radar, was ticketed near Baltimore, Maryland for speeding, and maybe you've guessed it, he was caught in a radar trap. And after that, he wrote this little poem, "Pity Sir Robert Watson Watt, strange target of his radar plot. It's sad, in fact, to make the mention, he was a victim of his own invention." We need to have some spiritual health before we can help. If we don't have some reserve, it is hard to serve. We need to be refueled and renewed to be used by God. In order to be a blessing, we need some refreshing. Jesus says, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." Like that young police trainee we heard about a few minutes ago, we all need all the backup we can get. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we stand to sing, we delight to give the invitation to Christian discipleship to any who would confess Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of the living God, believing also that He is Lord and Savior of your life, and you will walk with Him in love and faith. If there'd be any here.